This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter, when the snow comes to cover the ground. Well, it's a time for play. It's a whipping day. I wait for the whole year round.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. And happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus, and everything else for the rest of us. Hey, this is our holiday issue over here, and I wanted just to, episode of the podcast. And this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. So thank you guys again for listening to another Murray Christmas. We're going to be featuring Murray Sawchuk again. I always like to check in with him to find out what's happening in Las Vegas during the past year and kind of some snapshots on some things that he thinks might be coming up in Vegas this next year and some things that perhaps you may have missed or that you want to be sure to see the next time that you get to Vegas. So we have a very delightful conversation, plus talking about some social media and how the different things change, how it is you can brand yourself, and that what is new and innovative, what's working for him, and what might work for you also. But before we get into all that, I wanted to thank you guys again very much for listening and for also patronizing our sponsor, that is theperfecttrick.com. I want to thank Eric Citron for his patronage and his sponsorship of this, and he wouldn't be sponsoring this unless you guys were able to support him. And so I appreciate you going and taking a look at theperfecttrick.com and ordering some of your online magic supplies from his magic shop there online. As I had mentioned before, that he's always looking right now for some quality products that might be used that are out there from the Magic Wagon. So if you happen to have some, then please let me know. We'd love to see what it is that you got in your workshop or in your closet or drawers, perhaps, that you might be able to turn into cash for this holiday season. So do yourself a favor this holiday season. Save yourself a little cash whenever that you check out. Use the promo code WORD, and that way you will get a good 10% discount. And speaking of the holidays and buying things for your friends and family and yourself, perhaps, that Amazon.com is always a popular place on the internet to go and buy things. And if you're going to be buying anything at all, be sure to access the website through our own. Go to themagicwordpodcast.com, scroll to the bottom of the page. There you will see a banner. Just click on that and it will take you magically over to Amazon.com. And whenever that you buy something by using that link, we get a little bit of help back through Amazon in their affiliate program as being an associate of Amazon. So thank you very much for helping us by clicking on that banner when you're going to be making a purchase through Amazon.com. And if you want to make a more tangible financial donation, that would always be appreciated, and become a friend of the Magic Word, you can do that through a one-time donation or an ongoing donation through PayPal.com, or you can become a monthly member by pledging through patreon.com. So let's go move forward, and because we've got a lot to talk about, the first part of this is going to be with Murray Sawchuk in Las Vegas, and then the last part we have about a 10-minute chat with the fellow who is the creator and one of the partners and developers of SpareMin.com, S-P-A-R-E-M-I-N, like minute, .com. And this is the Headliner program, which is a really cool program. He goes into some detail, and I've been using this quite a bit recently, and I think it's something that you should look into. It's a free service to supplement your way of promoting your events and yourself as well. So please welcome my guest this week, Mr. Murray Sawchuk, here on The Magic Word. And Merry Christmas. Well, Merry Christmas. This is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and it is about that time of the year, then, holiday fans, for us to make a revisit, as we do annually, with my guy in Las Vegas to kind of give us an update on what's been happening and also kind of what's new in the social media to see what we should be doing in order to continue to give us more brand awareness and identification out there. Things change all the time, and this guy's all on the top of it all the time, on the top of his game, and that's why he's known as a celebrity magician, and he's got his own show. And so please welcome my friend Murray Sawchuk, hey, in Las Vegas. Hi there, Murray.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, man?
Fantastic.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Always good to have a chat with you. And, you know, we are talking over Skype then right now, but I'm enjoying a cup of coffee, and I feel as if, you know, that I'm right there with you having coffee because here in the morning. And I remember the last time we were together, and I sat in your kitchen, and you'd bake some cookies, and we had coffee and cookies, too.
That's right. Yeah, I'm always in my robe, so, and I'm still in my robe, so until I leave my house. That's
when you're not on stage, you're in your robe.
Of course, I am. Yeah, always. It's just the way it is, you know.
And sure. One of the things I think was kind of cool also is the booth that you got. I mean, for your table, we've talked about this before, but just to kind of, for those people who are hearing it now for the first time, came from the Riviera. Tell me about some of the stuff that you've got that are some of the Las Vegas artifacts that you actually live in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a huge collector. I love vintage memorabilia. I think it's fantastic. You know, I was always a fan of Debbie Reynolds, not always just for her entertaining ways. I was a fan of her, how she collected stuff. She was a massive collector. I mean, of all the movies she worked on and the stars she knew, she would just keep a lot of the cool things. You know, she had Dorothy's slippers, and she had Marilyn Monroe's white dress that blew up on the sidewalk that everyone's seen before.
Really? Okay.
In the movies. Yeah, she had so many.
From Sound Like It Hot, I think it was.
That's right. And she loved to collect stuff, and indirectly, it actually saved her a few times when she needed a few extra bucks. She would sell off some of the collection and make millions. So that booth that we sat in is actually from the Dunes Hotel.
Oh.
And the chandelier above it, which you're correct, is from the Riviera, and the chandelier above my booth is from the Frank Sinatra suite that they built for Frank when he started doing his shows over at the the Riviera Hotel. And then the one over my sink is actually inside Frank Sinatra's suite. So I have the exterior chandelier and the interior when you walked in the double doors into his suite. So, and then, of course, like I said, the booth is from the Dunes. And Debbie Reynolds, she built her own hotel for a while in the mid to late 90s. She had it for about 4 or 5 years, and she built a theater. And the theater was gorgeous. I mean, the theater was properly laid out. You could tell, obviously, it was built by a showwoman or a showman. And basically, she bought the booths from the Dunes just before it imploded, and she moved them all over to her theater. And then when they imploded that hotel, I bought two of the booths. So that's the long and short of that story. But yeah, it's cool. I love having that. It's a comfortable nook. It's great to sit there and hang out and talk with people. And I do a lot of interviews. As you know, I do a lot of my YouTube videos there, and I meet a lot of friends there and that. So it's good.
Yeah, I know that you are really a collector and someone who preserves the history of Las Vegas and other things too. You know, I was posting those pictures when I was in Cuba recently for Magic Cuba, and you had remarked about how beautiful the cars were, those 50s cars.
Yes.
And that's kind of your thing too.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love the cars. You know, I just went to see a buddy of mine show at the Mirage. His name's Matt Goss. And for those who don't know, he was very famous in England. He had a duo act with his brother called Bros, or Bros, B-R-O-S. They were huge in the early 90s, sung at arenas and stuff. And, you know, they're older now. Now Matt Goss is now performing at the Mirage now. It's a very kind of Michael Bublé type feel, you know, 13-piece band and all that. Real classy. You'd love the show. And I walked up to Valet, and I'm talking with his bouncer and a few other people, and there was a 66 Mustang, beautiful, white with blue stripes, and then the interior was blue. And they said, oh, my God, that's actually one of Matt Goss's cars. And I said, that's a gorgeous car. And they knew, I, of course, knew the cars. And I said, look at that. I said, I don't care what car you put beside that. We can't afford the detail those cars had back in the day. Nowadays, everything's a mold. Everything has to be done quickly.
And
nowadays, even now, I think, just for car companies to survive, they have to make cars so they don't last for 15 or 20 years longer because they need to sell more cars. They need to make money because nowadays those old cars do last forever. You know.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the amazing things, too. What happened was after the revolution in 1959 and Batista was overthrown and Castro had come in, and back in the old days, in the days of the mob when they had the casinos running and everything, you know, there, essentially time stood still. They couldn't import any more cars from the U.S. and a lot of other issues, and so they maintained those cars, which I'd probably say fully a quarter to a third of the vehicles I saw running around were those old kind vehicles, most of which are privately owned, that they use as taxi service to help defray their costs. But the amazing thing to me, then, Marie, is how well they have maintained their cars. Specifically, they're right there in the Caribbean. You got this sea salt there blowing in. You would think they would be, have that erosion and rust and everything, but they look as pristine as when they rolled off the showroom floor for the most part. And they really detail their cars. And apparently, there are a few places around Havana that will do these paint jobs and keep them up. As far as the engines, I took a picture of one of the engines. It's still an inline six. I don't know how they can.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really was. I was expecting something different because they said many of the engines had been replaced with Chinese. And, the communist Chinese had provided them with the motors that they need. But yeah, some of these apparently were still some of the originals. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, you know the cool thing, too, about old cars is a funny story. I was going to a buddy of mine's wedding over at the Wynn about a week and a half ago with my girlfriend, Danny, and she happens to be the host and lead dancer of Crazy Girls. So I thought, oh, we'll take my Corvette because I have a few cars, and it's a 73 Stingray, as you know, and a beautiful car. And so last year they had chrome on it. In 72 they had chrome on the front and the back, and now in 73 they only had chrome on the back, and then 74, no chrome. And so we're driving there. I thought, oh, a nice evening. We're all dressed up. I usually take my cars out at night when we go out. And kid you not, about two blocks away, I'm literally going down a street called Spring Mountain in Las Vegas Boulevard, which is where the Palazzo Hotel is, Treasure Island is, and the Wynn, right, this intersection.
Right.
And if you've been in Vegas, everyone knows that intersection. And I literally about 10 feet before the intersection, the whole car dies. That's it. We're literally, and I'm running late, of course. For this wedding, I thought, you can't be late to a wedding. The only person late for a wedding is the bride, you know? And so I literally get out. I'm in a suit. And I told Dan to stay in the car. And the battery in these cars are right behind the seat. And with these old cars, you can get them to start again, you know? And I basically disconnected the battery, reconnected it, and everything lit back up again. I started. I didn't even miss the light. that I stopped.
Just that
at.
Quickly.
I started the car again. Wow. The way it went. Because with old cars, you can work on them yourselves. And that's another reason I think why Cuba still has those cars. I mean, this computer stuff we're in now, we're driving computers now. That's all we're driving now.
No, you're absolutely correct. I used to be able to work on my car as well, as far as changing the oil and spark plugs and all that kind of thing. I have no idea where any of that goes anymore. I mean, everything is all
that's
digital.
Right.
And you have to plug it in. They do diagnostics. And, yeah,
yes.
It's day and night.
Yeah, it is. You're basically driving a computer, which is fine. You know, there's some great advantages to the newer cars as well. But that style, you can't beat that. So even the old cars, the early 80s, the Cadillacs and the Buicks and all that, you sat in them and it was like you're sitting in your living room. And just the luxury was equal to what a Rolls Royce is now. And to only get that feeling is you almost got to spend $100,000 for a car to get that feeling now. Whereas back in the day, you could, be a normal person and have that feeling.
Yeah, one of the things, just a couple things actually, that to go back to what you were talking about with Frank Sinatra and the Riviera and some of the other dunes and the like. When I was staying at the Hotel Nacional for the Magic Cuba, there was a room that had a plaque on it saying this was the room where Frank Sinatra stayed when he was in town, which was right next to the big suite where Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky and the mob, stayed over there then too. And they showed us the wedding suite where when he'd married Ava Gabor. And they showed us down, the little wedding chapel area where they got married. That was kind of cool then also. But again, as far as preserving history and everything, I remember seeing some photos that you had taken with you and Lefty that was in the, what was that, the Neon Graveyard?
Yes.
I've not visited that, and I would love to.
You
for those people
to.
Who haven't been to Vegas, that is one of the must-see things. Can you talk a little bit about that then, too?
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, back in the day, when I first came to Vegas, I saw the odd photo of these old signs, and I thought, where the hell do these people get in this photo? And I even saw in some music videos from other acts, famous acts that would use Vegas a lot. And there's a couple of streets they always use because downtown they use like 4th, which is one of the main streets, and another street over where you see Binion's and all these neon signs because there's neon in this town vanishing left, right, and center because it's just not,
Is that because of LEDs replacing them?
Yes, it's all LEDs now, And I guess it's a new and exciting thing, but to me, I find LEDs, and that kind of light, it's amazing because you can put anything on a billboard now. Mm-hmm. You can make it look old, but nothing beats that old sign that stays there 24/7. I'm very big on even billboards in this town. People have digital billboards. It's great for the companies because I can sit here at my computer. I can upload, basically a billboard, and it could be on the I-15, which is 15 miles away from my house now, and companies mm-hmm. love that because they don't need to send out trucks and printing. But when you have a billboard as an entertainer, I'll go back to the Neon Boneyard in a minute, but when you go back to being an entertainer, if you buy that real estate with a billboard, I want every car that drives by to see that. And that's very old school, but I like that because I know once I pay that monthly rent for that billboard, every car that drives by is going to see it, not 17 other different acts or people on that billboard will. Yeah, it is cheaper, but you don't get that. Anyway, so going back to neon and everything else again, and once again, I think the signs like this are gone because now it's just a big square and you can put any logo on there. Whereas back in the day, it was neon, it was bulbs, it was everything that Vegas was that made Vegas. And basically what it is it was a nonprofit organization and they started collecting the old signs from when the hotels were closed. Because once the hotel's gone, you know, there's no history in Vegas, you know. The problem in Vegas is, you know, it's amazing that there's just no history. There's a few historical things here, but nothing like big cities, like, you know, from where you're from in Texas and of course, in Canada and Vancouver, where I'm from and originally. Vegas is just this land that keeps being reused because, you know, Vegas is really that you know, 4 or 5 mile strip, and that's kind of it. And then, yeah, okay, we've got a huge city now, and there's over 1.5 million locals. But that real property that we make money off of here in Vegas, if we don't turn it over to keep the newest and trendiest thing on it, people won't come because that's what Vegas is
about. I would imagine that once that you kind of, I say you, that once a venue hits its peak, that's and they start to see just a little bit of a tail off, it's like, okay, we need to change immediately to kind of keep going to the next plateau. You just can't let it fall off. And so that's why they get rid of it. Obviously, people don't like it. That's why they're not coming, or at least that's what they're thinking. And so there is no history, so it's all destroyed. And they go on to the next, it whatever is. It might be.
Yes, well, it's like people with cars now, a brand new car. You know, people, for me, when I buy a vehicle, I buy because I love it and I want to keep it. And I really, when I buy a vehicle, I have no intention of ever getting rid of it. I'll just pay to repair it because it's like my home. You know, because I get a leak in the roof, do I sell the house? No, I get a, you know, spend $2,000 and fix the hole, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the way a lot of people look at hotels now in this town, is it's used to make money. Once it's you know, it's gone past its expiry date, wreck it, because that land's priceless. So back to the Neon Boneyard. So when these hotels would close down, these signs, people realize that these signs are invaluable because they're not going to make them again. So they would keep them because new owners wouldn't care. They just want to put up a new building and make money. So this place and this piece of land, which is North Vegas on the Las Vegas Boulevard, it's actually past downtown Las Vegas. And it's on the right side. And it used to be this plot of land, kind of like right beside a neighborhood, kind of in a lower income area of Vegas. And
it wasn't intended to be any kind of a museum. It was just a place where they put stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, to store signs. And I think down the road there was, this is, you know, 20 years ago, I think there was a thought of something going on with it. But, you know, how do you go from there to what they have now? And it has happened. But so somebody thought ahead and started storing these signs, and beautiful signs. And they have the sign of the Mulan, which a lot of people don't know, but the Mulan was downtown Las Vegas, and that's where all the blacks would stay because there's obviously segregation way back in the day. Mm-hmm. So when Sammy Davis went to work at the Sands with Frank and Dean and Joey Bishop and all those guys, that's where he would stay, is at this hotel called the Mulan. And very interesting. It only lasted, didn't stay up for very long, about a year or so, and the hotel closed down. But it was a swinging place. And the coolest thing was, because, you know, Frank Sinatra never saw color. You know, he just saw talent.
Right.
And so they do their show at the Sands. And you know, of course, you've heard all the stories of Sammy walking through the kitchen and that. And finally, you know, Frank Sinatra is one of the pioneers of, you know, making black entertainers walk through that front door as they should. Because he was very, very much a believer in all that, like we all are. And what would happen is they would do their shows, and once they all finished and had drinks, well, Sammy would have to go back to that hotel because that's where they stayed. And of course, Sammy, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Joey Bishop and all those guys didn't care. So literally, they hopped in their limo and they'd go down to the Mulan and walk on that stage, and they'd party the rest of the night away with Sammy and everybody. And all of a sudden, a lot of the white people would come into the lounges and hang at the Mulan because that's cool. Where the action was. And Frank Sinatra didn't care.
Yeah, he brought the action.
Hotel. Exactly.
People came to follow him.
He didn't care who stayed there. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a cool story on that. But they have a lot of that stuff. So basically, Neon Boneyard is a great place. And when I got my original photos down there, it was just, they had a very thin path around these signs that were literally stacked up, like three or four deep, and none worked. They were all just there to look at. And then over time, they raised funds and, you know, became a big nonprofit and had the city, you know, help pitch in. And now it's actually a museum where they light up probably 10 or 15 of the signs. They're actually restored.
And you have to make reservations, actually, to go there, don't you?
Yeah, now you do. Back in the day, the only way to see it is you could go online and you could write them and say, hey, at 2 o'clock, could I come and see it? And you'd have to actually, and they'd say, yes, at 2 o'clock, you can come. And then somebody would meet you down there, and then you'd walk around. That would be it. There was no real tourist thing. Now it is. It's actually proper tours, and you pay, and you walk. It's well, well worth it. All the money goes back into the museum. And you can also do photo shoots there. And, you know, it's not the cheapest to do a photo shoot there, but you know what? If you want to do a photo shoot and have one of the best backdrops, it's worth every penny. I've shot there three times now, you know, and I'm looking at doing it again because you can't beat that backdrop.
Classic Las Vegas.
Yes, yeah. And now they have something very cool. They have two sections. Another section, which used to be just stock signs as well. I mean, the signs were just literally stacked in this other section while they were making this. So, and also with this place, you can rent it out for parties now. You can rent it out for social events. It's a wonderful thing. So now the other section, they brought in this this basically video mapping, which we're all hearing about now a little bit more and more. And I think on the movie Now You See Me, or one of those ones, they did it in one of a building. They kind of used a bit of video mapping in the movie. But for those who don't know what video mapping is, basically you can have an old building. Say you have a rundown building, and you have these projectors across the street that shoot on the building.
Oh, sure.
And at night. And basically on this old building, they can light it up and they can program it to exactly what the building used to look like. And at night, when they turn on all these cameras, it literally brings back the building to the day it was made, whether it was in 1780, in 1920, whatever the case is. And that's the newest, I think, form of advertising now. I saw it happen at the Park Hotel here, which used to be called the Monte Carlo, where Lance Burton was. And they did it when the computer convention was in town and the lighting convention. They lit the whole hotel up, and I swear to God, I almost rear-ended a car because I could not believe the whole hotel changed because they mapped the whole hotel.
And you were seeing that. Yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable. I was driving to work and I thought, Christ, it's not good. I'm going to hit somebody. But in this one part of the Neon Boneyard, they do this tour and they come in and none of these signs are lit up. Mm-hmm. None of them, but they have a video mapping pole in the middle. So each, there's probably about 15 or 20 signs they have that's video mapped. So you stand in the middle. It's probably a tour of 25 people, and it's about a 12-minute presentation or less or more, and they play all the old Rat Pack songs, and all the signs all relight up. Everything lights up to exactly the way it was back in the 60s.
I got to go see
it. Yes, and they don't light up. They actually are all video mapped. To exactly the way, so they map the sign that's really rusted, and the paint's chipped off, and then they map it to exactly the way it was in that
pristine condition.
And
it's
a whole presentation. It's probably one of the best things I've seen in years, and that's so yeah. So it's a very cool thing to see.
That's a must see thing when people come to visit Vegas. Well, 100%. Speaking of things to see and people, you'd mentioned, I know Lance Burton had left a long time ago, and that and Monte Carlo has changed. I know Lance has a show that he does occasionally with Fielding West and with Keith West.
Yes.
And I think Michael Godot helps then as well. And that's just, I think he'd done one here just over Thanksgiving holiday over at the Orleans.
He did.
But there have been a lot of people who have come and gone. Let's, first of all, you know, can you go back like the first of the year? I mean, we've had a lot of changes and people who have come into Vegas and everything. So kind of give us an update on Magic in Vegas.
Yeah, there's been so many different changes. A very dear friend of mine, Joe Libero, had a great run here. He had a show called Inferno. It was the Paris Hotel. And it started late last year into early of this year for 6 months. But he wasn't planning on going any further than 6 months. Of course, we all plan longer. But his initial contract was 6 months, and he did fulfill that. And it went very well. Really cool show. It was a fire show. And when I mean fire, I don't mean like just a little fire to cane. He had the whole stage reworked with gas.
Wow.
And his illusions. And for those who don't know, Joe He didn't, but he had a cast called the Fuel Girls, mm-hmm. and they did. And the Fuel Girls is like a 4 to 6 girl tattooed, very edgy cast, really beautiful women that eat fire, blow fire, all this stuff. And they're from England, is the original. That's where the original Fuel Girls are from.
Oh, okay.
So he brought them over, and then he did his illusions, of course, and had a sidekick and a few other things in the show. Great show. And for those who don't know who Joe Libero is, Joe Libero is basically the David Copperfield of Sweden. And now he's going back in a few months, because he lives just down the street from me, in Vegas, and he's going back over now for a huge arena tour, starting in January, February, March in Sweden. So we had a good run here.
Which casino was he showing?
He was at the Paris Hotel.
Paris, I'm sorry, yeah.
The Paris Casino, yeah. So he did a 6-month run there. And then, of course, there was David Goldrake, who was at the Tropicana for just over a year,
mm-hmm.
and his show closed. I believe it was at the end of September.
I saw that nice when I was run. Out there for Magic Live. That was a great show.
Yeah, great show. Really nice guy. Talking about video mapping, he used video mapping on that as well.
I noticed that. Yes, the background. Yes. That's what he was using. Okay, because it's a phenomenal backdrops, but there was all video mapping. Huh, okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't exactly the term video mapping in the sense of it. It was more the graphics he used on a thing, but it was very close to it. Where it's amazing, that stuff, because you can change the scene every set, you know?
Yeah. Really adds a lot to it. So he folded in September, you say? Okay.
Yeah, he closed. And then looking up and down the strip, I'm trying to think what other changes for magicians. I mean, I know early in the year, I know Jared and Raj had their show at the Stratosphere, you know, and that
they were
ended.
Hooters for a little while, and then they moved to Stratospheres.
Yeah, they were Hooters that ended that. I think they had a 3-month run there, then they moved to the Stratosphere, and I believe they ended the end of last year, and going into this year, and that they had a 4 or 5 week run at the Strat, and it just didn't work out for them. But they're great guys, good magicians, but they're on the road now. And I know Raja is a Juilliard pianist, and he's a phenomenal piano player, mm-hmm. so he's doing that a lot. I know they're doing my Christmas show here I have in December with me. I do a Christmas show, as you know, for my dog charity. Yeah, and so they're going to be in it. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
As an aside, by the way, and I don't want to overlook this, that congratulations on the recent recognition, I guess, that you got from the city for your philanthropic activities.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Congratulations, my friend. That is great. Tell people about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was Murray the Magician Day, and I was surprised on my birthday. John Katz, he's the head entertainment writer here in Las Vegas and the man about town, and I'm doing my show on my birthday, which is November 25th, and halfway through my show, I'm talking about my charities, as I usually do, and he walks right out and shocked me, and he had this this proclamation from the lawyer saying that because of all my work for charities and things about giving back and all that, that November 25th in Las Vegas now is Murray the Magician Day. So I thought that was pretty sweet. That's pretty cool.
Because
you don't really look for that. It kind of just happens. Like, you know, you don't wait. You don't grow up as a teenager and think, what do I want to do for a living? You know, I want to have a Murray Day. Whoever says that, you know? So it's kind of cool that it just kind of randomly comes up like that. So yeah, so real sweet. Really nice of the city and the mayor. And it's nice to see that some of our efforts of giving back
are recognized.
Yeah, and I don't do it for that at all. I think I've mentioned this many times, I copy a lot of what Lance Burton did here in this town. He was so loved by the community and still is because of what he did to give back and the way he dealt with the community and the people here and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So I took a page of his book, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I again, just wanted to highlight that since we were kind of on that for just a moment. So you're talking about Jarrett and Raj, who had they're kind of moving
their
on.
Show.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think. Well, Matt King, of course, is still at Harris. And
he just
then,
renewed, now going to be the longest-running magic show in Vegas ever.
I think so. That's correct, yeah. And then Penn and Teller is still over at the Rio. And then, of course, we have Nathan Burton, who's in the mall. Over at Planet Hollywood, which is he's in the Miracle Mile Mall shopping mm-hmm. center, which is still there. And then, of course, Chris Angel, as we know, is moving into Planet Hollywood. He opens December 19th. He closed at the Luxor. You did 10 years there. And
he will no longer be associated with Cirque du Soleil. Is that right?
He will not at all. He's on his own dime. He's four-walling the show. And mm-hmm. from what I've heard, and this is just rumor, but from what I've heard, it's costing him about $4 million to open that show up at the Planet Hollywood.
Wow.
I'm thinking that's a lot of money. If I had $4 million, I'd go buy a bar in Mexico and call it a day. know what I'm saying? It's a lot of money to do a show in the Las Vegas Strip just to keep
I'd come down and sip a margarita with you.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because it's, you know, because obviously people know how much I love Criss Angel. And with his Luxor thing, he had a big sticker down the Luxor. And now I moved back to Tropicana, of course. Right. Because there's so many magicians with Caesars Entertainment. I love Caesars Entertainment. There's so many magicians within that company. And because Criss Angel's moving to Planet Hollywood, I just didn't need another magician at Planet Hollywood, especially with Xavier being there as well and the mentalist Santiago there. I was so excited to move back to Tropicana, of course, as you know. Yep. And right across the street, of course, Chris was finishing his last month at the Luxor. And as I've been going to work, they've been slowly taking down that sticker on the front of it. And I'm telling you right now, I actually opened a bottle of champagne when the whole sticker was off that hotel. I was so excited. The hotels never look better, you know. But that's just my personal opinion, and that's just me, you know me. But he's on his own now, so it's going to be interesting to see how it goes because, you know, Jeff Dunham did about 10 months at the Planet Hollywood, and he's a star. I mean, he does a special every year. He's very current, very famous, and he had a hard time selling tickets in
for
that
those
room.
Who don't know, Jeff Dunham's a ventriloquist and very successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on Comedy Central and many other specials. And, you know, he's really a comedian that is a great ventriloquist. I never think of him as a ventriloquist, even though he is.
Yeah.
Because he's just so cutting edge.
Well, like Terry Fader, you know, but he's got, you know, so many different characters and everything.
Yes. Yeah, Jeff Dunham. Oh, totally. Yeah, and so he had a hard time in that theater. It's just a very hard property. And when you're in the property, in the big room, you know, you got Backstreet Boys. You have Lionel Richie. You got real stars. I mean, legit A-list stars.
Yeah.
You know, and as you know, with Chris, you know, he doesn't have – the star isn't what it used to be like it was 10 years ago, you know.
Well, it has a lot to do with television, I think. You know, he had that celebrity status with television, and once the Mind Freak rolled off and then went over to Spike TV, you know, it wasn't really as popular of a show nor a network, I guess, and I don't know what happened. But I think that as long as that you are in front of the audience nationwide like that, that people will come and want to see the show, much like Matt Franco. That's another one. Matt's still going strong, isn't he?
Matt's still trucking along. I just saw something in the paper a couple of days ago. He has a lawsuit with Base Entertainment that he is dealing with, I guess, in regards to the way they're selling his tickets and the income coming in and out of whatever deal he has made. So I don't know. Of course, we don't know everyone's deal, you know.
Yeah.
But I would never speak on what it might be. But I just saw in the paper 3 or 4 days ago that, he's suing Base Entertainment for the way they're handling, I guess, his contract. And, you know, Base is the one that kind of runs the room and runs him. And, you know, he's had a very lucky contract. He's a great magician, nice guy, you know, but let's be honest, you know, he's not Sting. He's not Elton John, you know. So you got to be careful with what's going on sometimes because he's got a hell of a great contract, you know what I mean? And as you know, nothing lasts forever, you know, so.
Right. Well, there again, you know, he is playing a lot on the popularity of his win from America's Got Talent and basically kind of recreating that. And that at some point down the road that people will, there'll be other seasons of America's Got Talent and they'll kind of forget that season. Now, his show is phenomenal and it I think can play for a long time, but I would think that at some point it's got to evolve a little bit, and change some things, I would guess, you know, for just to maintain that freshness. I mean, people like to come back and experience the same thing over and over, and it is different, you know, every night as far as some of the things that he does in the show. But some other things are what you want to see in the show. That's like with Criss Angel. You've seen him do these things on Mind Freak, and now you get to see it live. Same thing with you saw him on America's Got Talent, now that you're seeing this done live. So you kind of want to see some of those things, but you would like to see some new stuff also.
Oh, 100%. And so that's also one of the things, too, where you know, it's funny, I always get a crack out of this about Criss Angel. He's like, oh, brand new, never before seen, unbelievable. He's like, everything's in 3D. I'm thinking, okay, hold on, everything's in 3D. Well, I'm thinking, it is in 3D. You know, actually, you're looking at it. It's in 3D. We're not watching a TV show, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, oh, 3D, never before. I'm thinking 3D. Frank Sinatra was in 3D in 63. You know, like, so, you know what I mean? Like, I get such a – I'm all about overselling because we all have to oversell ourselves. Sure. P.T. Barnum was one of the greatest. But enough of, you know, it's funny when he was ending his show at Luxor. It's like never before seen brand new illusions yet. His show, he was shipping illusions out of his theater to Luxor and moving them to Planet Hollywood. I'm thinking, never before seen. You're shipping half the show back to Planet Hollywood. You know, so everyone.
Well, I guess as he was getting rid of some of the things that he was using regularly, he probably saw something and said, oh, we haven't sent this in a long time. Let's pull this out and maybe do that.
Who knows exactly? But I know he was taking everything out of his show at the Luxor towards the end of it. It was very skin and bones, whatever he was doing in his show, because it was already at the Planet Hollywood Theater because he was rehearsing and setting lighting for that. So. Yeah.
So. Well, another guy I know is working and keeping his head down, doing a great job and packing the house every night down at the Four Queens is Mike Hammer.
Mike Hammer.
Man, I like his show. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, great show, solid guy, and really worked his ass off to get there, you know, and he's a hustler, and I like his comedy. I think he's very funny, and the tricks are great, and he's just a nice guy, you know, really great guy. So, yeah, he's doing very well. And also another guy down there is a guy named Adam London. He does an afternoon show. I think it's his fifth year now, I believe.
Really? I've heard of him.
It's an afternoon show, Adam London. His brand is Rubber Duck. He kind of uses rubber ducks in his show, and it's kind of his brand, and it's down at the D Hotel. He's been there for a long time. Really nice guy. Him and his wife are real, real sweet people. So his show's down there as well. And then it's a brand new show that opened up over at Hooters. It's called Petty and Taller, and it's a spinoff of Penn and Teller.
Okay.
And yeah, and it's Mateo and a guy named Christian Ford, magicians. Well, Mateo was Chris Angel's sidekick. Because, you know, when Chris Angel moved, he didn't take any of his lead characters with him, like Penny Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a few of the other acts in the show.
Was Penny the one that used to work with Jonathan?
Correct. Yes. And so he didn't take any of them because, once again, their salaries are pretty high, and it's expensive having your own show now, you know, when you got to sign the checks. So so he started his own show, Mateo, who's a very dear friend of mine, and they have their evening show, I believe, at 9:30, 4 days a week over at Hooters. And they've had it open for about 2 months now. So real good guys, nice guys, so they're giving it a whack over there as well. So,
is Jerry McCambridge still working?
Yeah, Jerry's still up there. He's in the mall over at Miracle Mile doing his show, which is attached to Planet Hollywood. So he's still doing his thing there. And Mark Savard's got a show over there as well. And then the very dear friend of mine, too, if you want to see a great mentalist show, it's called Phenomenal. And it is over a paranormal, over at Bally's. And it's in the window showroom. His name's Frederick De Silva. And it's a great show. He does very well, and he's a very talented guy, and it's just a real, really great show for that property.
Is he an American, or is he...
No, he is. I believe he's French.
Yeah, French. I was going to say that I know the name De Silva. You know, as a mentalist myself, I know a lot of guys, and I thought that name sounded familiar. Yeah,
he's brilliant. He really, really brilliant. So it's... So it's you know, magic in this town's really... you know, rock and roll as usual, as it always will, you know.
Anything coming up next year that you've heard people saying, hey, we're going to be opening in January, February?
You know, I heard, next year I heard Hans Klock is going to come back to Vegas, and he's going to go to the Excalibur. Mm-hmm. Adam Steck from Spy Entertainment, who's a dear friend of mine, is producing a show, and he's going to do some Houdini-type show, because Hans Klock, of course, from Holland, is known for his big illusions and hair blowing in the wind and pretty girls and all that. And he's going to a pretty small venue over there, and I think he's doing a like a Houdini type kind of throwback type show, and it's in a very small venue, but a 400 seat venue over there. So that's the talk for that place as well. And I know David Goldrake has mentioned coming back, doing a show. You know, everyone who closes their show always mentions about coming back. You know, but people don't realize that coming back is not that easy, because usually if you're going to come back, you just come back. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I was thinking, for example, like Rick Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I was working, I think, at the Aladdin way back when, and I believe he's in Branson now, but I thought he was going to come back and do something in Vegas.
Yeah, well, you know, Vegas is a different animal now, as you know. It's, you know what I mean? It's just, it's just a bit rough, you know what I mean? But what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, Vegas is a very different town now, and I know a lot of people are frustrated with it, and Vegas isn't what Vegas used to be. Well, people don't realize Vegas used to be, the entertainers were the bonus. Entertainers were the part of the free room, free show, free buffet, right?
Right.
But now it's, we're going to charge you $32 for the buffet because it's all you can eat and it's from every country in the world. The rooms are going to charge you more if you don't go on hotels.com and get a deal. Mm-hmm. And the show is going to charge you a fee for it because they brought in accountants and every area has to make money in a casino, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of entertainers are frustrated going, you know, it's not like it used to be, and it isn't. But at the end of the day, the people who are like the Michael Bublés and the Bruno Mars and people like that who can sell a ticket. It is the Vegas of today, because these stars would never have played Vegas back in the day.
They were too
big for Vegas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Vegas used to be the place of where you're starting out or going down. It never used to be the main place to go. We got to come in here. Now it is. So that is good. But if you can sell a ticket, Vegas is a great place. But you need, once again, we go back to, you need television. You need YouTube. You need some form of fanship to bring people to buy a ticket.
Well, that's a good segue. That was where I was going to be going next, is to see what is new. I mean, one thing, again, I want to congratulate you on is hitting 1 million subscribers on YouTube. That is awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Isn't that something? What are the chances? You know what I mean?
Now, how would somebody else go about trying to follow your lead to even get, 100,000 subscribers? I mean, what was the path of your success on getting YouTube subscribers?
I think it's about consistency. It's about following the algorithms, and people are always like, what's an algorithm? We don't know really what that is, do we? We do and we don't.
Yeah.
But an algorithm is a pattern, obviously, that keeps going over and over. But if you keep your pattern, consistent, mm-hmm. that pattern will mimic itself and double and triple and just.
Are you meaning by posting on a regular basis?
Yes. Like anything, you know, it's kind of like raking your leaves every Sunday because it keeps your yard looking nice, or brushing your teeth every night because you don't want your teeth to fall out. You know,
I release these podcasts like every Thursday at 9 a.m.
Central. Exactly.
So there is a consistency. People know that this is going to be fresh every week.
Exactly. And that's how you gain followers. That's how you gain a reputation. That's because people want to look forward to something. And okay, I know, yes, we have Netflix and Amazon now, so we have on demand. You know, which is the new world of that as well. But there still is that on-demand thing, meaning, you know, we can see it every week. There's something new. And so we always upload on Wednesdays, and also we upload a second day of the week as well. But it kind of varies our second upload. But our first, we've never changed for 3.5 years now, every Wednesday. And there's months where we didn't get many subscribers a day. And there's other times where we got up to 38,000 subscribers in one day, which is unbelievable.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I don't even understand how that's possible, but it's pretty cool when it does happen, and that happened for like a series of a week, and that's what pushed it right over to 1 million, because I didn't know if we were going to hit 1 million by the end of the year, because projected it was supposed to be March next year, and then things picked up faster and faster, and then within a week and a half, we did like 180,000 subscribers. It was unbelievable. So the way you do that is having consistency, having the right thumbnail, having the right tags, having the right title, having the right content that's interesting, and don't ever change your quality of content, whatever that quality is, when you're uploading it. You know, your fans, you know, it's one thing to have a lot of subscribers. Subscribers don't bring in the money or don't bring in the fanship. Like, you can click subscribe and not watch that channel again.
Right.
The key is to have the engagement. You know, you want people to keep coming back and watch your stuff and like your stuff. So you don't want to throw people a curveball. Like, you don't want to be doing your, say, podcast on magic, which, of course, yours are on, and all of a sudden you throw a podcast in there on how to bake cookies. Well, that's not what your viewers are listening for. You know, that's Martha Stewart. You know what I mean? That's someone else, you know. So Rachel Ray. So you do that, and it throws your worth off. So all of a sudden people are like, oh, are we really going to get, you know, are we really going to get what we're coming to this podcast for or this YouTube channel for? And you don't want to throw people like that. It's a perfect example. You watch Cheers or Big Bang Theory or any of those shows, Walking Dead, and all of a sudden, you know, you watch Walking Dead, and all of a sudden, one episode, there's Bert and Ernie and Big Bird. You're like, wait a minute. I mean, that's not, what the hell are they doing there?
Yeah.
Oh, we're just trying to mix it up a little bit for you. Well, no, we don't like that. You know, we're very creatures of habit. You know, we even though some of us aren't as formulated as others, we still have,
our routines. I understand what you're saying and where you're going with that. I had just posted 6 different podcasts after I got back from Cuba, because the Wi-Fi was so sketchy. I recorded stuff there, but once I got back, I released it. Well, the first one actually was what I called a Cuban travel log, because it had no magic in it. But it was my experience of landing, and what I talked with a tour guide and taxi driver and different people. And so it was really my impressions of Cuba, but I didn't number that as I do typically with with the other ones. I said this is just going to be an unnumbered one because it's going to be a travelogue. And if people are interested, it's kind of like Rick Steves' travelogue, you know, kind of a thing. And in fact, about 20 minutes of it was spent with John Rose, who was the organizer of the Magic Cuba. And we went into a humidor, and he was talking about cigars and gave a lot of information about, you know, not only what these cigars, how they're made and everything, but the cigar factory and the people who work there and how they're rolled, et cetera, et cetera. And I had received an email back from someone saying, you know, who would have thought that I would have learned so much about cigars, you know, from a Magic podcast? But he said that was fantastic and I really enjoyed it. And,
yes,
you know, so that was unrelated to Magic. So it was kind of like you were just saying, you know, that you'd be doing Magic and all of a sudden I start talking about cooking and it's a Martha Stewart thing. So it was a little bit different, but I still continue to give content the next day, you know, about that. So I, you know, just trying to expand a little bit, let listeners hear something different.
Of course, it's true. You want to expand a little bit, but you still want to go back and give people what they're looking for as well.
Why, like, they're,
you
coming know, there,
with,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with my Magic videos, with on YouTube, everything has to have Magic in it. Even if I want to do a homeless, where every Christmas I do a homeless video.
Yes.
And this year's homeless video is my mom. She knits and she sews. She's always done that all her life. So she's knitted 100 beanies, or in Canada we call them toques, but a beanie, you know, for your head to keep you warm. And she knitted 100 of them over the last year to give away to the homeless. Because last year I gave away blankets. The year before I did peanut butter and jelly
sandwiches.
Peanut
butter and jelly sandwiches, right.
Yeah, the year before that I went to McDonald's and I actually drove. I went to the drive-thru in a hoverboard with a Santa outfit and bought 100 cheeseburgers and put them in my sack and handed them out. So this year mom suggested, what you do? Beanies, not I'll knit them. So she did. And so now this year, but once again, I can't, it's a great gesture and I love doing it, but we have to do a trick within that video because that's why people come to my YouTube channel. That's why they're watching. So of course, every year I come with a new trick and an idea, good, bad, or indifferent. It's still a Magic element. And then we do it and it's a nice twist and it's still Magic. You know what I mean? So yeah, you know, so it's just very important, you know.
Now, what about other kinds of social media that you supplement? I mean, do you have YouTube as your main social media outlet, or and you supplement that obviously with Facebook, Instagram, and I guess you use Snapchat? I mean, what works and doesn't work, or, you know, where do you focus your time?
Well, right now, I mean, the main things for me are basically YouTube as well as Instagram, and then I mean, everyone has their own little outlets, but I like Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Those are my three main outlets. And some people are Snapchatters. I know the Kardashians love doing the Snapchat thing. And everyone, you kind of got to pick out your pros and your cons.
Right, because there's Twitter and Tumblr and everything else,
yes,
and Reddit. And,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. So that's kind of where everything's at. So that's where you kind of got to figure out where we're at. So for me, it's hard to build both up at the same time because they're different formats. I mean, Facebook, your videos will got to be about a minute and a half there.
Right.
Whereas YouTube, you got to do 3 minutes to 10 minutes. That's the length of time. People on Facebook don't want to see a quick hit. They want to see a little bit of something.
Uh-huh.
And then on Instagram, we're back down to 30 seconds.
30 seconds, right.
Something like that, but they all have their different formulas and formats because you got to share that story or that image within that time. And it's got to be – now, once again, I don't follow that with my personal Instagram. I have two. I have my name, Murray Sawchuk, but then I have Magic Murray, which is my business Instagram. And so my personal, I don't. I take a picture of my dog or me sitting on the couch having wine or smoking a cigar, and that's really not the way a business Instagram should be set up. A business Instagram should be set up the way I do my YouTube, meaning – make every picture extremely engaging, you know, and everything else. And for example, this is hilarious. I take a picture of my dog or my yard outside after I cleaned and they go, hey, just outside, get some fresh air. And I might get maybe 50 likes. Then I literally, me and my girlfriend Danny are hanging out in front of the fire. She's a dancer, of course.
Yeah.
And she's bent over and I take a picture of her with the fire. Like, it's just a really nice photo, like it's just her butt. You'd see it in a Sears catalog if they sold.
I think I just saw this one the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's seen it. So literally, I took this picture with a fire, and then I had my dog behind her because she was just fooling around, and it's just a very funny picture. I was gonna say, oh my god, I just like love hanging out with my dog and my fire. And I was, but the dog photo didn't turn out that well, so I just put the picture of her rear end up with the fire behind her because it's just really pretty, and it just, I just did it for a reaction. It got like 700 likes, right? No face, no saving right. kids from cancer, no shoveling snow. It's just this rear end of a really beautiful girl, which happens to be my girlfriend. And it got, so that's what I mean. So if I really wanted to hone my Instagram into getting way more likes, I would be more selective in taking photos that get attention like that.
Well, sex sells, of course.
Sex sells. Yeah, or anything funny. Like a very dear friend of mine is Ross Smith, and it's Ross Smith and his granny. You might have seen these videos, but they're very famous online. It's this young guy in his 20s with his grandmother. She's in her 90s, his granny. And they do crazy things. Granny's shooting an M16, and granny's wakeboarding and all that. And it's so funny. They're massively famous, but his main area is Instagram. And he's extremely, extremely famous. He's got over 2 or 3 million followers on Instagram. But every post he puts up is for a reason. He just doesn't randomly take a picture of his grandmother. It is a set photo shoot. And it's properly done, you know. So when you, if you really want to look at this as a business, that's how you do it. You
can't, and that can be converted to cash because of followers and eventually what?
You get brand deals. So if you have 2 million followers, Wendy's will go, hey, can you and your grandmother dress in a chicken outfit? Because they're doing a Wendy's deal for the holidays. Great, we'll pay $100,000. Okay. And that's how you get them because your subscribers, your followers. And
you're an influencer.
That's right. And like for my YouTube, we're up to close to, we're almost about 20,000 away from hitting 1.1 million on my YouTube. And I'm having my party in about 2 weeks here in Vegas and for my million subscribers. So we're way past that now. So,
another new thing that I just found, and that's called Headliner. I think it's sparemin.com, SPAREMIN for like spareminute.com. And then they expanded a thing called Headliner. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but you can upload videos, or it's a kind of a way to promote yourself or an event that you're going to be having in a short video. It can be done and formatted for, it tells you, 30 seconds for Instagram or whatever else that you want to have. And it also has transcription below that. So this way that people don't have to have the sound turned on, it will just have the transcription of the sound or, whatever. So you can have a little clip from a video, or like what I do with the podcast, that I'll have just an avatar of the podcast for the week. And then underneath there, you can hear the person talking. You can read what they say. Because a lot of times I think what people are, when they're watching this, it might be at work on their computer or on their tablet or on their phone. And there's some place where they may not have in their headphones. And so they don't want to intrude on other people around them, let them hear what's being said, because you don't know what's going to be said then either. So that's why it's important, yes, I think, to have this transcription that's going to be on there. Anyhow, it's a free service, and it's relatively new. And in fact, after people are finished listening to this, don't stop listening, because I've got a conversation with the fellow who is the founder and creator of Headliner or Spearmint, and he talks a little bit about this. So this is how that you can also incorporate a little bit of your brand into social media by using this on Facebook and Instagram and elsewhere. So it's something worth looking into. So again, just stay tuned after you hear this with Murray to learn a little bit more about it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, all this stuff's amazing. What I love about social media, people don't realize, a lot of people, I can't stand social media. I'm not into it. It's just a pain in the ass. Everyone's using it as a political platform or this platform or that.
Right.
But people don't realize in our business, and I've always said this, people go, boy, you're, always posting about something. You can't even, sneeze without posting about it. I said, here's the truth of it. I said, if you're watching the news and you're watching CNN, or you're watching Fox or whatever you choose to watch, and if at the end of it on their screen has a Instagram, a YouTube logo, mm-hmm, for more click here,
right,
it's a good thing. If they're using it, and they're a news world channel, right, they don't need this, they have TV. If they're doing it, it's probably a good thing if you're doing it, especially when they need to expand. Same with Ellen. Look at Ellen Jenner, one of the biggest talk show hosts now in the world, because she's on YouTube and she has Ellen Tube.
That's true.
She has a TV show. She doesn't need YouTube. She doesn't need money. But if it's good for her, it'll be good for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to do it because they just don't want to be bothered or learn. And I get that. But don't say it's not any good, because it's wonderful. And, back in the day, you'd have to spend $3,000 to $10,000 a month for a publicist to get your name out there. And nowadays, you can do it for free. You just got to make up a name. on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. It's all free. It doesn't cost a damn thing. Well, you need a computer, that, you know, but you can go to FedEx or Kinko's and borrow a computer. You know what I mean? You don't even need to own a damn computer. Make it up for free and do it yourself and learn. And the beautiful thing is, you know, no one else cares in the business. I'm just talking to magicians now, but no one else cares more about you or your show than you. I don't care if there's another successful magician. Doesn't affect me at all. My mortgage payment doesn't rely on another magician being successful.
Right.
Thing that only care about you and your brand and what you're selling. I don't care if you do one birthday party a year or you do 10 a weekend. At the end of the day, if it can get more business and get more people to know who you are and you can sell more shows, do it. And here's the best thing. It's free. It costs you nothing but time. Just learn, you know? And it's a beautiful thing. Whereas back in the day, the only way to get your name out there was to put an ad in a paper or make a photocopy and go down to the recreation center and stick it up on a tack board or get a Yellow Pages ad that costs you a fortune a year plus a business line, you know? So the internet's a beautiful thing where you can do all this for free and be smart about your ads and be creative, you know? Getting into the ad thing, it's amazing how many performers I see that don't understand how to get attention. They do it the wrong way. Like they'll do photo shoots and they'll try to do a photo shoot that makes them look really beautiful because they're a pretty couple or an act.
Right.
And I've seen so many beautiful performers take a photo and they look like a high-end real estate agent that's selling homes in the Pacific Palisades or Beverly Hills in LA. And I'm like, it just says nothing about magic. You guys could be a ballroom act. You guys could be a flamenco dancing act or one could play the violin and a piano. There's nothing that says magic in the shot, you know? And I go back to Lucille Ball, Liberace, even Howard Stern or Chris Rock. You look at all these older acts. And Chris Rock isn't the same era, of course, as Liberace, but Liberace, very, very few times was he not wearing tons of jewelry and a ridiculous jacket or have a piano or a Rolls Royce in front of him because just him standing there wasn't enough. And he was famous.
He needed the prompt.
Exactly. And when that ad's in a paper or even if it's online now, forget about being in a paper now, if it's online, there's something interesting about you, but people are so vain and they're so up their own sometimes, pardon my French, that they're so worried about, oh, I got to look the best. I got to Photoshop this. No, get a photo that makes you stand out. Penn and Teller have been doing it for years. Carrot Top's been doing it for years. You know, I've been doing it for years. But you know, get away from being vain and looking pretty. Anyone could look pretty. You know what I mean? I could make a toad look pretty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But go out there and create a photo that looks exciting and interesting. You know what I mean? That somebody, when they're flipping a newspaper or they're online and looking at a Facebook ad or looking at a Facebook page goes, oh, my God, that's a unique photo. Who is that? What's that going? Because no one's that famous to – yeah, there's a few people, but even Lady Gaga. She doesn't need to be interesting or anything. She can just be Lady Gaga now, and all of her photos are still exciting. So is Madonna's.
Some years ago, I was doing a show for Joan Collins. Not that old, Joan Collins. And when I was having a photo taken, I was going to have a fan of cards, and she was holding a wine glass, and she said, you know, please, darling, no props. And so she didn't. So it's like, okay, I put down the cards and I just stood there. And of course, she had a prop. She had a wine glass that she was holding.
Yes.
But didn't want to have anything else was going to be in there. So, you know, she's thinking about her brand and, you know, of having a nice picture and what that's going to look like. And then, you know, later I thought, well, I'm glad I had it that way because it did look kind of goofy had I, you know, just had that fan of cards, you know, there.
Yes.
But anyhow, to kind of wrap up as well, that I guess you got your house decorated for Christmas?
Yeah, actually, after we finish this interview, I'm going out to put up more stuff. It looks like it's actually going to rain in Vegas today, but I'm going to go out there. I put up a bunch. I always put like about 10,000 lights up in my home. Yeah. And my mom's, of course, flying down from Canada, Vancouver, to spend it with me, as some people know or don't. My father passed a few years ago, so it's just mom and me and all of her dogs. And then, of course, my girlfriend and all of her family is coming in from all parts of the States to have Christmas here, which is exciting. So every year I go, you know, I'm just going to put up a couple lights in the tree because, you know, I have a garage full of stuff.
And then it ends up getting crazy.
Yeah, well, every year I look in there and go, well, I have the stuff. It's not like it costs me any money. It's just a matter of doing it. And you know, I'm very lucky to have my show here, but my show only takes 2.5 hours a day. So I keep thinking, well, let's just do this. So now I've got the big candy cane fences outside and the fence with lights and all. I got this massive 8-foot teddy bear on my front lawn. It's huge. I just put it up last night. I'm so thrilled about it because it looks amazing. So yeah, so as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go outside and work in my yard for about 4 hours before I go to my show. I got my show tonight, of course, and then I got 2 weeks off because it's a rodeo in Vegas. And when the rodeo's here in Vegas, you might as well go do your show in your living room because no one comes to shows. They all go to the rodeo and drink beer.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be shooting YouTube. And then in about 5 days, I'm going down to see, of course, my mentor, who's 93 in Palm Springs, Marvin Roy, Mr. Electric. I'm going to go see him next week for dinner. I always take him for his Christmas dinner or in his World Hanukkah. Yeah, I will. He's doing great, so good. I'm going to go see him. And
now, are you going to be in the parade? I remember last year when we talked that you had a childhood dream come true by being in the was it Rose Bowl?
Oh,
parade?
The Hollywood Parade. Yeah. I think they just filmed it a couple days ago, and the parade's changed completely. They have no stage this year for performers.
Okay.
And it's just the parade, so I don't know if they're cutting costs or what they're doing. So I think they might have, Master of Illusion might have put a few magicians on the street down there. But this year I did not participate in it. But doing it once was amazing. I love doing it. And then, of course, this year, which you've probably heard, but Master of Illusion has been renewed for a sixth season now. Yes. So we're all filming it in January in L.A. again. And it's such a great time. It's like it's become a big
And they
a
also
family.
Closed the – that was another show, by the way, that was up and down this year was Master of Illusion show.
That's correct. That show closed as well. And they had a really good run as well, some great acts as usual. And of course, a beautiful theater. It was in the old Jubilee Theater at Bally's. But they had a really good run. And now, of course, they're going on tour as they do. And they'll always work because they have a TV show, of course, on TV every year. And the acts, they have so many acts they can alternate. So and all the magicians are great. So they're going back on tour. And then also there's a magician magic show at Bally's upstairs called Fantastique Magique. And that lasted a few months. And it was like a burlesque type magic show, but it didn't last very long because, when you come to Vegas, I always tell people, when you come to Vegas with a magic show, it's kind of like you going, you know what? I want to open up a bank. I got a great idea. It's going to be the Murray and Scott Bank. Let's go to Wall Street and give that a shot. Well, no, we're not going to do well on Wall Street. We should go in the middle of Ohio where they need a bank, or the middle of, Grand Rapids, Michigan, where they need a bank, not Wall Street. Vegas is the Wall Street for magicians, and it's not an easy road, but it's a fun road. So.
Well, good luck with your new venue over there at the Laugh Factory back at the Aladdin.
So, thank you. Not the Aladdin, Tropicana.
I'm sorry, the Tropicana.
Yeah. The Aladdin hasn't been around for years.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. But I've got some of that step and repeat that's on my wall over here, so I've got two of them.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you got them both. Yeah, it's great. Thanks for keeping the memory alive. I appreciate that.
Yep, so,
and hopefully you won't have many more. Hopefully I'll be at the Tropicana for a while because we love it. And, of course, when you're in town, Scott, come by. You're like a second dad to me, so,
Well, I appreciate that. I'm still looking forward to, the Magic Island hasn't opened yet and still a little ways away from opening. And once it does, I know some of the guys I've spoken to in Vegas whose shows have closed have said, hey, we want to come and work a couple weeks and as well. So, hopefully that you might have a chance to take a little time away yourself to come and work here.
I would take a week off my show here to fly and just hang out with you and do some magic in Houston as usual.
Once it gets up and running, I want to come out. I'm still going to take you up on your offer of being a guest actor sometime.
Oh, I'd love to have you. It'd be an honor to have you in my show, and you'd have a great time. You'd love the theater and the venue, and of course, your material's so great, it'd be an asset to the show. So
thanks very much. Well, listen, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
And I really appreciate all the advice and everything. Any last words, particularly a magic word you'd like to give the listeners?
I think a magic word is, I think this year, for everybody is giving. It's not about receiving, it's about giving, it's doing a free show or helping out somebody that needs a little love this year or this Christmas. I think the word is giving this year. So there you go, Scott. Merry Christmas.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it, Murr. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, as Murray Sawchuk, this is Scotty out. Well, hey, before you kind of stop the podcast or you don't go any further, I want you to pay attention to the next few minutes. We're going to be talking with Oliver Wellington, who is one of the founders of Headliner, and it's an exciting new program, and it's absolutely free, and I get nothing out of it. I've just been using it, and I'm excited about it, and I want to share it with you, so consider it one of my Christmas gifts to you, because I think that you will enjoy this free service. So just give a few minutes here to listen to what he has to say, and you might want to check it out. So here we go with Oliver Wellington. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and this morning we're going to talk just a little bit about social media and some of the different things that are out there, but more importantly, something that's relatively new and something that might be of interest to magicians and other entertainers and performers out there on how to make you have a unique selling point or a USP in order to brand yourself a little bit better. And I'm talking about this new thing called Headliner. And so my guest today is one of the founders of Headliner out of New York City. Please welcome Oliver Wellington. Hi there, Oliver.
Hey, how's it going, Scott? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm glad that you could come on and talk about this. It was great because I honestly don't remember how that I came across this, whether I got an email unsolicited that came through or how that it was. I don't remember that someone had necessarily told me about this, but I went out to try it, and it is very simple, and it's a way of, well, I'm going to let you explain it. You can give the elevator pitch exactly what is Headliner.
So Headliner is a social media video creation tool. It allows you to basically repurpose content. So if you have a podcast or a radio show or any piece of audio and you want to turn that clip into a short video and put it up on social, or maybe you have a video clip and you want to add fancy captions to it, or you just want to start from some written content and have it summarized and turned into a video, that's something you can do for free within Headliner. So It's pretty simple to use. We have tons of people using it now, and we're just trying to spread the word and get more people trying it out and improving their social media presence.
Yeah. Now, again, most of the people who are listening to this don't have podcasts, but they might have some content perhaps that they could push to the social media, because you can post it, of course, on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everything then like that. If you don't have a podcast, what would you suggest that you might?
Sure. So you can actually create promotional videos using, it has a built-in text editor and stock videos. You can upload your own video. So you can actually create promotional videos to put on social. Right now, there's a big push in all the social media platforms. Their kind of algorithms are going to be promoting video more than other types of things you're going to share. So I think you'll see every year it's going to be more about video, and we're trying to make that easier. So one thing is just to get on there. You can, if you want to write up kind of like a promotional video and script about yourself, you can do all that kind of within Headliner. Another thing is for magicians, if you have even like kind of homemade footage of yourself taken with a cell phone, and you want to put that on social, a great thing to do is to add transcriptions and captions to that. There's stats thrown around that I think are probably true based on just how I use social media and see it, that 85% of all social media videos are actually watched with the sound off.
Right.
So it's a good idea to have those captions on there, and that's something we make super easy to do.
I've noticed that is very true, because it automatically will transcribe your voice to text, basically, and then you can choose to use that or not. And it's easy, I found, to go back in and to edit that, because sometimes people may slur their words, or they may have an accent, or there may be a dropout, or for whatever reason, that it may not be exactly in there. And so I like the option of putting that voice to text in there. And you're exactly right. Many times whenever I'm watching Instagram video or on Facebook or something, I don't like for the music to pop up. I don't mind if the video to pop up, but you might be in a situation like an elevator or wherever else, you know, standing in line or someplace, you know, you don't want to have the that on, but it's easy to have the transcription to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you, Oliver, was because obviously that this has applications not just to podcasters, but more importantly to the magicians who are listening to this, is that this is just another way of promoting yourself and for creating your brand, because you can put this into a short video that you can then post to the social media, whether it's going to be Instagram, Twitter, or whatever, then also not only promote yourself that way, but to send something to a client that's going to be just a short thing. Because usually if you're recording something, it's going to be using Zoom or Skype or something, and it's just a one-on-one, the camera's on you. you, but here you can create the video with the transcript and everything to send to a client to say, this is kind of the type of show that I would like to do for you. So I think it has great applications for magicians.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, adding captions is a great thing for not only sending to clients, also posting on social media. Another thing that headliners use for a bit is people use it to promote their shows. Like musicians have used it to promote upcoming shows. So you can kind of put some tour dates up there, have some animation, and have voiceover, whatever you want. And that kind of stuff will do much better on social media than static images. So it's a simple thing. I mean, I would say just, you know, when you're doing social media, it's all about experimentation and finding out what works for you. And adding in video to your repertoire is definitely a good way to go.
You know, that's a great idea. I really hadn't thought so much of that, of trying to promote just a single event because it's so easy to use and everything. But then if you were just going to be having a, let's say, even if you're working in a restaurant on an ongoing basis, that could be something that could be embedded in the website for the restaurant where you're working. That could just be that short video that kind of shows a video of you walking around and performing for people like that, and the type of magic that you're going to be doing, and the kind of fun that the people are having at the tables and everything. Or, as you say then, Oliver, if it's going to be a one-off event that is going to be for the public or something, that you can promote that by showing some either static photos or some videos from past events that you've done like this with the overlay of the text, like you say, because you can not only have the voice to text that's on there, you can take that off, which, by the way, is an option. You don't have to have the voice to text, but you can have it if you want. The same thing with that, what do you call that scroll where they go up, it goes up and down, the voice modulator or something, kind of a thing?
Yeah, the movie, the waveform animation.
Yeah,
is,
the wave
animation. You can add.
Yeah, you can have that or not. I mean, that you can create whatever you want on this. And so that's a great idea for having like a special event to promote not just yourself, but to promote events. So that is something that is an add-on that you can give to a client to say, hey, I can help promote your event as well by creating this video for you that you can send out then to your guests or to the public or customers or whomever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Great idea. One of the important things that you had pointed out when you go to the site, that the site tells you that the time for each of these different social media differs. In other words, that what you might create for Twitter would be a different time than Instagram would accept, or from what Facebook. So if you want to do a 2-minute thing for Facebook, you can't repost that on Instagram.
Right. That's correct. And so another thing that I should mention, you know, like right now there's a huge push towards the stories format. So if everyone's familiar with that, basically if you're in Instagram or Facebook or WhatsApp or Snapchat, it's kind of these videos that are usually around 10 or 15 seconds long each. So very quick.
Yeah.
And they're usually in the portrait mode, right? So it's kind of like as if people take videos directly with their cell phone.
Right.
And so you can make those portrait style videos in Headliner and use that kind of to add to your story. So I think not only are things shifting towards video, I think these short, like ephemeral stories videos are also going to become a big way that people communicate and share. It's almost like crossing the line between broadcast and also just messaging to your friends and promotion. So I think anything you can do to get into those story feeds is helpful.
Well, you're exactly right. Of course, with everyone having a short attention span, that the shorter it is, the better it is. And I think that's one of the recommendations that whenever I've gone to there and kind of created, saying, remember that the shorter the better, because people are going to just spend a few seconds, you know, and if it captures their attention, going to stay a little bit longer. And of course, a lot of times we as magicians might think, well, hey, what we have to show is going to attract their attention. Well, yes or no, it kind of depends upon the content, certainly. And one of the things I notice also is that it's best and easiest to create on your PC or Mac. It's not something that is be able to be created as of yet, at least, on your iPad or phone. So you have to go to your computer and then create it. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's at headliner.app, headliner.app. And so, yeah, that's kind of like a funny little branding thing we did. We wanted to get the .app right when it came out. And we eventually will have a mobile app, but for now it's kind of a little counterintuitive. But, yeah, you can only access headliner.app from a laptop or a desktop. And the main reason is that we kind of allow for some more advanced video creation features that would be a bit harder to do on the phone.
That's a good point.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So eventually we'll have a boiled down version you could use your phone for, but for now it's all accessible from a laptop.
I know some people, myself included, will oftentimes easily use our iPads to create a like an iMovie or something, and so that could be, you know, a short movie also. So I assume that that will eventually be available to use on an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we're still pretty early in this company, so eventually, I mean, my goal is to have it available to make videos on Headliner from any device, and then you'll be able to access them all with the internet. You know, any device with a connection, you can access all your projects and kind of continue working.
I know one of the issues, I was trying to post something over one of the small creations I had made for Instagram, and in doing that I can't post to Instagram. You know, you can't post to Instagram from your PC, and you can post from your iPad or your phone, but I can't access the headliner.app from my phone or iPad. So I had to, so I was going to send it to myself, but then the link didn't quite work, so I had to do a workaround to send it to my Dropbox, and from my Dropbox to my iPad, then post it that way. You know, by saving it.
Yeah, yeah. Instagram makes it, they don't make it easy, because, I mean, we were looking into, can we just directly post to Instagram from the desktop, and it's just Instagram doesn't make that easy. So, yeah, I would say you got the workaround right. You basically either save it to your Google Drive or your Dropbox. Also, for an Instagram story, anything that's 7.7 megabytes or smaller will actually get attached to an email sent to you. So that's another way you can access those files for Instagram.
That's a good thing to know as well. And one of the things that is easy on the Headliner, I noticed as well, is that you can choose the size of whether that, as you mentioned, portrait or landscape. And then you also suggest this is what's preferred by Facebook or what's preferred for Twitter, et cetera.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, basically, we found that like the square videos are pretty versatile now because they work not only on desktop. If someone's viewing it on desktop or mobile, it's going to look good. So if you're doing a stories format, you'll obviously use that portrait style. But for most other stuff, square has been a pretty good format if you don't want to make videos in all the different aspect ratios.
Right. And for those people who are listening to this right now and thinking, oh, that's too complicated for me, it isn't. And the learning curve, in my experience, is very short. And you even have a video that says how to create in 45 seconds. And you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing I want to mention, too, is on Headliner, on the bottom right, there's a little help icon, and that'll either we're manning the chat there during business hours in East Coast time, and then off hours it'll send us an email, and we get back within a few hours at most, pretty much every day of the week. So we're here to help and walk people through if they need or whatever it takes.
Yes, I had a situation early on when I was going through the process and had a question and had left a message, and they made an appointment for me to call in, and we did a video help call, basically, and he walked me through it and took the time that was necessary, and I feel like I'm an expert, you know, really at using it now. Yeah. So it's not just someone that you type to, actually, that I had a face-to-face communication online.
Yeah, I think you probably talked with Neil, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah, he's the other founder here, actually. We actually rotate support, so you could get me or Neil or a number of other people on our – I mean, our team's only 8 people, right? So it's not like there's tons of people to choose from. But, we're real. We're here, and we're happy to help.
Now, just real briefly, give me a little bit of background about the creation of Headliner, how it came to be, and how long you've been in business, and what your plans are.
Sure. So our founding team started originally, we had called our company named Spare Min, and we were kind of we made a phone app that allowed people to record distance interviews for their podcasts. And that was about 3 years ago. And then about a year ago, we got a lot of interest from podcasters that we've been working with around, you know, they're kind of saying like, you know, I already know how to record stuff. I don't really need another way to record. We can use Skype. We can use Zoom. There's a lot of options, right?
Right.
But what the real issue was how do we promote ourselves online? Because you can't share audio to social media. It just doesn't work. And mm-hmm. So from that, originally, I tried to use this WNYC public radio station in New York. It had like a hackathon and made an open source audiogram generator. And I wanted to just try it out. And I had one of our tech team kind of set it up for me on a server. And then I was kind of sharing it with other people that also were not technically savvy like me. because they wanted to try it out too. And then from there, we kind of realized that there was a lot of demand for this type of a product and that we'd kind of need to rebuild the entire thing and then add in more features and all this stuff so that it would be able to handle the volume of people that wanted to use it. And so that's kind of how Headliner came to be. And since then, we've branched out from just turning podcasts into clips for video. Now, like, you can make a video from scratch with all the stock images, background music, text design and animations, all that stuff. You can also, you know, like I was saying, do transcriptions for your video or turn articles into videos as well, all within Headliner. So we're just going to keep expanding and building out all the tools that people need to make great social media videos.
And also, I noticed that you have something that is like a quick wizard, three different ways, I guess, of once you get into the program, of doing it in a wizard format that kind of walks you through it, or you can create your own, or, you know, start with a video editor. You can put all the elements in if you want, or you can have it so it kind of is pre-made for you.
Yeah, we have all these. Yeah, the wizard concept has kind of been helpful because I think the hardest part about making a video is kind of is knowing where to start. So even if you use a wizard and don't necessarily end up using all the media that it chooses for you, at least having something to switch in and switch out is kind of a nice way to start and get the creative juices flowing, so to speak.
Yeah. Right. Well, it sounds really fantastic. And one of the last things I want to ask you about, of course, is that right now it's free. I assume that this is going to continue to have a free component to it.
Yeah, and I think like our plan is that what's free now will always be free. And so we've started experimenting with an idea for making money where we actually have a marketplace now. It's headliner.app/marketplace, and people can pay anywhere from $1 up to $10 to have different types of videos made for them by us. So that's kind of something that if people are interested, maybe they don't have the time or would like to kind of just like get ideas from what we can create, that's something they could try. And then other than that, yeah, we'll probably be adding in more features down the road that might be paid features. But it's still pretty early, and we're kind of experimenting with stuff. But I think the core thing that I want to do is to keep the basic Headliner that we have now free free forever. That's the goal.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, you got to make some money some way in order to pay the bills, though, you know. And
no, it's true.
So, yeah, I can see how that you can expand to others and help offer that opportunity, because there might be some people saying, well, I'm not sure how to, you know, do this with my own video and everything. And for a buck or two or 10 or whatever, it might be worth it to just upload that and let you guys handle it from there. So perhaps that business might grow then as well. Well, it sounds really fantastic. I say it is. I have been using this and I would recommend it also. And so, again, just another application for getting your brand out there. I think that magicians and all entertainers should certainly look into this, you know, and kind of get on the ground floor. It's one of those things, like I kind of feel like I'm talking with the founder of Amazon as he just got started also, because I could see where this could really grow into something huge. I mean, Amazon started off with an interesting model, not making any money at the beginning, and then their stock prices eventually zooming and being worth billions and being able to make money. But for a long time, they were kind of in a negative situation financially, so they really weren't making any money. Oop, are you still there?
Scott, are you there?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I did. I think comparing me to Jeff Bezos might have just broken the airwaves. Yeah, that's quite a comparison. I was choking, actually. Oh. But I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, no, I really do think that this has it is kind of cool, because it is such a unique thing that is has a great potential for such growth. So, Kevin, thanks again for being my guest here today, and remind us again, what is the URL where people can go to get this?
It's headliner.app. That's headliner.app.
Got it. And that's really only available through your PC or Mac, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Right. Through your laptop or desktop.
Yeah, and the nice thing about laptop. So the nice thing about that then again is that once that you easily create that, there's a little button on the over there that says export, and it will export it then, and it'll prepare it, sending it to your email address, and then from there that you'll get all the links that you need. You can download it and post it or whatever you want to do with it. So it's very simple to use, and that well, thanks a lot for creating this to you and Neil and the other founders and everybody working on this project over there.
Thanks so much, Scott, and appreciate you having me, and best of luck with the podcast.
Thanks very much. And so for the Magic Word Podcast and for Headliner.app, that was Oliver Wellington, and this is Scotty out. Well, thank you, Oliver. I appreciate you letting us know about Headliner. That's good social media to add to the mix, I believe, for most entertainers and not just magicians. So something worth looking into. Go check it out. It's free, and just take a little bit of your time. Fairly user-friendly and something I recommend and use from time to time as well to help promote this podcast, but you can also use to promote your shows and everything else, just as Oliver said. That sounds really great. I also want to thank Murray Sawchuk for being my guest here today, and also you guys for listening. And just to kind of add to last week's review, which I talked a little bit at the end, actually quite a bit, about Joshua Jay's new trick called Balance, I just wanted to say that during this holiday season, which has been very busy, thankfully, that I've had a chance to perform it a couple of times, and just a few performing tips and some of my observations of having used it and working in my new script, which worked pretty well for me, and I have gotten a lot of good feedback on that from the groups where I've performed. The groups where I've been performing it have been for fairly small groups that have been in restaurants and country clubs, and so it's been anywhere from about a group of about 30, and the other group was probably about 40 people, so it was fairly close, fairly intimate, something that everybody was going to be able to see. And in both cases, when I was performing this live before the group, the very first point where you remove the pencil and the toothbrush is actually balanced right there, there were audible gasps. I mean, it was like, wow. You know, I mean, they kind of can believe that you're balancing the pencil, and then when you put the toothbrush across from the water bottle to the pencil, it's like, ah, that's pretty neat. And then you just kind of let that sink in for a little bit. So the important thing, I think, here is timing. But when I removed that pencil, it was just, oh, in both cases. So I have gotten good reaction then. From there on, whenever that it builds, regardless of how slow you go or how careful that you build it, it's going to me, just wobble a little bit. And that wobble should, in real cases, of course, just result in everything tumbling down. Moreover, whenever I have asked people at the end about that in particular, they said, yeah, that was really cool, but and I've been trying to figure out how that has been done, and the only I can guess is some sort of magnets. And I didn't try to discount anything or try to argue and say, well, what about this or that, because there are other things going on there, and they weren't all magnets. I just kind of let people believe whatever they want to believe, but it really is an interesting puzzle, certainly. And when in one case I had deconstructed it shortly after I had built it and then took it back apart, again talking about my life, and I'll give you that script here in just a minute to think about, but then second time when I was performing that, I left it and said, if anybody wants to afterwards come over and take a photo with this, then you're certainly welcome to, and just promise you're not going to touch it or breathe on it because that it might tumble. And I didn't have anybody who came over and took pictures of it, so I took it apart while they were getting ready to leave the room and everything, and so there didn't seem to be a lot of interest in coming over and doing that. However, the first time that I did perform it, there were a couple of photos that were taken just as I had finished it. And before that, I deconstructed it. So just a couple of observations there. Might, in my opinion, depending upon where you put it and your performing environment, think about taking it down then shortly after you put it up. Although that in Josh's case, he doesn't recommend that. And also just kind of as a performing tip, something that you might work out on your own. It would be, again, a presentation that will fit you. Something that worked and fits for me is to talk about balance in my life, because as listeners of this podcast know, that my wife had passed earlier this year, and so she was also a dental hygienist, so it made perfect sense. And when I was talking about this, about and I had passed out the items, which by the way, when it comes to passing out the items, as Joshua recommends, I do not point out the fact that they should look closely at these items and say, make sure there's no wires, trapdoors, mirrors, magnets, or anything like that. Perhaps I should, so that's the way that it kind of discounts the fact that later on they inspected those, because the switch went by completely through, for both groups. I'm absolutely confident that it worked well, because I had, again, a dramatic moment that was a good place and a logical place for me to make the stop and make the switch. And so I am
Still a little bit conflicted on whether I should be saying to check for this, because if you do, you start to implant some idea that maybe there are some magnets in there. We just missed it the first time. So I just kind of pass them out, then recover them and say, what do these things have in common? And then I'll say, well, these are things that are important to me because they give balance to my life. And then I explain my wife had just passed earlier this year. And then as I make the switch and I pick up then a piece of paper, which is actually the program from the celebration of life for her service, and I explain about some things about her life and about what these things mean to us. And by having the water bottle, which of course is trying to keep healthy, drinking some water regularly and going and working out, the pencil having to do with the work and business I had done before that I became a professional magician, which required some sales and also negotiating of contracts, et cetera, et cetera. The pencil was an important part of my job, as well as the toothbrush, of course, obviously and logically represents her as a dental hygienist. And that as we, as I built on that, of course, and later changed my career to become a full-time magician using the playing cards, and then we had grandchildren who use the colors and color in the coloring book, and their children, and so that seemed logical. So you can kind of see how that, and I had a script that was around that kind of thing, and how that after her passing, of trying to keep these things in balance with memories of her and continuing to move on with my life in light of some tragedy. So anyhow, that's just something for you to think about as far as trying to put together a presentation for yourself for that trick too. I know when I'm talking about this that I'm really talking to a limited number of people, and I apologize for that, but I think it might be just kind of interesting for those of you who have been contemplating buying one of these, or that you've been following threads on Magic Cafe or elsewhere on Genie or wherever else, Genie Forum, or talking with other people who have them, and I've given you my thoughts last week, and so I think that's about all that I need to talk about that. This is available, by the way, again, it's called Balance by Joshua J., and it's available pretty much every place. You can get it here on the podcast, themagicwordpodcast.com. But our sponsor, who I recommend, theperfecttrick.com, is a place where that you can go, and they have that available, and go check them out. They can make you a good deal, and if you order that before the end of the year, this year, 2018, that you can get it for $200. After the first of the year, it's going up to $250. So don't be too late. I think that'd be a great gift for yourself, or a for your spouse to give to you for your holiday gift, for your Christmas Hanukkah gift. So anyhow, that's about all. We had a pretty full episode. Sorry for going on a little bit later than typical, but I hope you've enjoyed this episode again with Murray Sawchuk. I always like to chat with him to find out what's going on each year out in Las Vegas, as well as his ideas on updates on the social media. And I thought the addition here with Oliver Wellington and talking about the Headliner app would be a nice little addition as well. So we're just going to leave it there until we get back then next week. And I got someone who I think that it's going to be a completely different direction we're going to be going next week, and someone who I suspect that more than 90% of you do not know, have never heard of, nor have not met. But for those of you who have met him, are going to be glad to get a chance to visit with him through this podcast and also get to know him and to learn a little bit more. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be visiting with Bill Ragsdale. And Bill teaches a class every once in a while over at the Magic Castle on lockpicking. And also, he is the world's foremost authority on John Scarney. So he's going to be talking about both of those things next week. So be sure to come back next week and join us there. And in the meantime, while you're looking for tricks, be sure to go check out theperfecttrick.com. And if you're going to be buying anything this holiday season or anytime on Amazon.com, be sure to go to the bottom of our page at themagicwordpodcast.com. And there's a banner. Click on that. Take you to Amazon. And be sure to make your purchases there, because we get a little help for the podcast from Amazon as being an associate. So thank you very much for helping us that way. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember that this week's magic word is giving. Be sure to help and give to others, for it is the season. Matter of fact, it's something that you should do all year through. This is Scotty out.
Well, Frank, I want to tell you, it's real nice having you with us for the holidays.
I couldn't think of any better place to be.
Oh, hey, how about an eggnog? Huh?
Well, I'll take a little bit of it.